This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Very excited by the Dallas Cowboys practice report from Brian Broaddus, who is joining us now on the BuyerSafety.com hotline. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Doing well, boys. How about yourselves?
Doing well.
Super.
Thank you. Kellen Moore and the offensive line movement up front. Can we please start there in saying you lost track of some of the things that they were doing yesterday and that it does look a little different?
Yeah, it does look different because what he's trying to do is he's trying to take advantage of the skill level of his offensive line and a lot of his his wide receivers as well. You know, the tight formation stuff they get into. I've talked about it a bunch on different shows, even our own platforms here on DallasCowboys.com, that it's very similar to what if you like the Rams attack, if you like the way they stay in the same personnel group, 11 personnel, and run a lot of different plays out of that without bringing guys off and on the field to attack people, then this is what you need to see. As far as the offensive line, yeah, he's taking advantage of – you get a guy that's uncovered on their offensive line now, there's likely to be some type of a pull, some type of a play where it's fold blocking, it's, you know, they're taking angles, they're trying to get guys out in space. You know, these are things, though, it's just not, okay, let's zone block all day long and try and take guys on that way. Even though this team has had some success doing that, I think Kellen Moore says, you know what, I need to get the ball out on the edge a little bit more. I need to take advantage of, you know, with Jason Witten being back as a blocker on the edge. You know, Dalton Schultz has even had some success in these practices of securing the edge to get linemen out in space and on the perimeter. So these are all things I think that you would have to be excited about with Kellen Moore. And, you know, I do see some different things. I do understand some of the things now that he's trying to do. Again, it's not just run the ball straight ahead into the line and see if you can get Ezekiel Elliott free. I think he's just saying, you know what, I need to let some blocks develop, let Elliott play off the blocks, and then run the ball that way. I like what he's trying to do here, at least what I'm seeing.
Are you surprised that Jason Garrett would allow this type of freedom from Kellen, or you will buy it when you see it?
Well, I think everybody, David Hellman says this all the time, you know, we have to be careful with the OTA stuff, but, you know, OTAs, they talk about installation. Okay, if he's installing plays that are like this, you know, they ran a really neat play yesterday that I thought was really cool down in the red zone. Is they faked the jet sweep and they threw a screen back away from the way the jet sweep did. So you got motion going away, and now you're going to sneak a back underneath with linemen in front, you know, Connor Williams and Zach Martin out in front. And Jackson happened to be the receiver instead of Zeke. But it just was so neat how it got the defense going one way, and then they threw the ball back the other. And I'm thinking, okay, if he can come up with creative stuff like this, though, he's got some other ideas. And, you know, Garrett has been here for 9 years. Let's be honest. You know, they've got to find a way to win games. And if being more creative offensively, I mean, if you're a Cowboy fan, your hope is that Kellen Moore is this year's Chris Richard. This is what your hope is.
Yeah.
Where Chris Richard came in last year and gave this defense some life. They were really good, scoring defense. That's what they always want to do. If Kellen Moore can breathe some life into this offense, you know, and come up with some creative ways to take advantage of Randall Cobb, who I think has really done a nice job since he's been here. And then you look at the quarterback who's thrown the ball well. The last two times we've seen him, he's been very accurate throwing the ball. You know, these are all things I think they need to take advantage of because they've got the capability with the line, with the backs, with the receiver, with the tight ends to do some good things if they can, in fact, do that.
Broaddus, I know you've scouted, obviously, a ton of college. I'm sure you've watched a lot of Chris Peterson's offenses when he was with Boise and now with Washington. How much is there in Kellen Moore's that you've seen in terms of pre-snap that you could compare to that?
Well, pre-snap, everybody wants him to motion three guys this way. He wants to look like Canadian football. That's not what they're going to do. You know, he's going to get it. It's very similar. Obviously, he studied the Rams because if you look at how he plays with 2x2 with wide receivers tight to, like, say, to the tackles, you know, that's what the Rams do. They get in 11 personnel, and then they wear you out in that form in that personnel group because they're running a lot of different plays at it. But the Cowboys' problems over the years, you know, and they've had some offensive success. I'm not going to act like this offense was totally dormant, but they no longer have to get into 12 personnel to run this play. They no longer have to get into 13 personnel to run this play. They know, you know, if you can run your offense out of getting in 11 personnel with some occasional 12 personnel stuff, but play it to where you don't give the defense a really good read because you are staying the same personnel group, but you're running a lot of different plays. I think that's where Kellen Moore, if you want Kellen Moore, now they've run some stuff with crack toss where they took a wide receiver really wide, bring him in motion, bam, slam the end, and then get blockers out. Some of the stuff I was talking about with the movement, you know, those are the types of things. But pre-snap, are we going to get in one formation and then break to another one? You know, maybe you'll see some of that stuff, but I think they want to get in one personnel group and run a lot of different plays out of those personnel groups so people really can't get a beat on them.
Brian brought us DallasCowboys.com football machine on 105.3 The Fan. Kellen said he was going to call plays from the sideline.
Yeah.
Kitna will be up in the coaching booth.
Yep.
What is your experience in terms of is it one more effective or is it just a feel thing?
I think it's a comfort factor. You know, I think with Kellen, I think that he's worked on the sidelines, you know, since he's been here, the couple of years that he's been the coach or was on the coaching staff. So he wants to be able to sit down with Dak and the other quarterbacks and kind of go through some things, some adjustments. Coaches tend to like to look at the players in the eye. They like to be down there on the field to say, you know, if something bad happens, they want to be able to say, okay, my guy's really rattled here. I got to settle him down. Or my guy's way too hyped up. That's what, with my experience with Mike Holmgren doing it with Brett Favre, and I'm sorry for doing 25 years ago, guy, but that's my experience of, you know, Mike liked to look at Brett and then put his hands on his shoulders and say, all right, man, you've got to settle down. Settle down here, okay? So I think Kellen wants to be able to have that ability to not to have Dak pick up the phone and lose something in translation. If you're right there in front of somebody. Now, the thing about having John Kitna upstairs, John Kitna is like a brilliant guy when it comes to seeing things, seeing schemes, adjusting. You know, his talent level wasn't, you know, I mean, he played a lot of years in the National Football League, but his football mind, football intelligence is really good. He can help Kellen Moore in his ear like, hey, Kellen, don't forget you got this on your car. Don't, you know, you need somebody up there reminding you that, hey, you got this. Don't forget this. You know, go back to that. Mm-hmm. You know, remember that worked. Hey, listen, this is what they're giving you on third down. Think about this. So John Kitna is going to try and play the game of chess upstairs while Kellen Moore's moving the pieces on the board. I think that's a pretty good thing to do.
Does Dak, this may be way too early to ask this, does Dak look any different from years past,
well,
mechanics-wise?
Yeah, I mean,
or?
He threw it. That's the thing with Kitna, and we're not going to see this until Garrett lets us watch. Now, I'm sure there's things that Dak in the two-minute drill, you know, threw the ball very, very well. I mean, he had a pass, and I wrote about this in DallasCowboys.com. You don't normally see Randall Cobb drop passes that are thrown right at his face and across the middle. And, I mean, one of the big problems that Dak was having was throwing the ball in the middle of the field and having it not sail on him. Mm-hmm. But his accuracy, as far as yesterday, looked really good. Now, what we need to do is get to Oxnard and see it every day. And this is where John Kitna, I think, comes in. John Kitna is an attention-to-detail guy. And I'm not saying that Kellen Moore wasn't or Wade Wilson wasn't before. But I'm just saying, though, John Kitna is more about point the shoulder, point the foot, bend the knee, you know, and you could kind of tell that, you know, that his working with Dak, if that's what it leads to accuracy, well, then good for John Kitna for what he's been able to do. So a lot more of the passes, like I say, the two-minute drill was really good with him throwing the football, had a really good command, had nice control of the football. I think that's the most important thing with Dak.
Isn't the two-minute drill, real quick, kind of where he's always – done okay at, though? It's kind of the traditional drop back where
the overall practice. Mm-hmm. I think that, to me, just watching him throw the football, whether it was the 2-on-2 drill yesterday, or I mean, he dropped some passes in there down the field I thought were really pretty passes. Again, the pass he threw to Randall Cobb runs a great route. Dak reads the slot blitz coming, and Cobb sees it too and breaks for the inside, and Jeff Heath in chase mode. And the ball, I mean, literally, he hit through the ball right at Cobb's face, you know, from about 15 yards away, and it was right there, and Cobb just dropped it. And so, to me, if you can continue to have those kinds of passes and they get dropped, okay, that's one thing. But Randall Cobb and those guys are going to catch far more of those passes than they're going to drop.
Other guys that I noticed you write about was Mike Jackson. Jonvay Johnson is in here again, but also he's connected to Mike Weber in pass protection, which I know you're always noticing. And
I love that.
Daniel Wise.
Yeah, Daniel Wise. Daniel Wise is from Kansas, the defense. He played defensive end at Kansas. They're using him really as an under tackle. In this weight class he's fighting in right now, he's doing a really good job. I want to see him move up to the heavyweight class and have to deal with Connor Williams a little bit, maybe deal with Zach Martin. You know, he beat Zach Martin 1 out of 3 times. This is how I got to notice the human log last year, Antoine Woods.
Yeah.
You know, that's what if you're having success against the first offensive line, then I'm thinking like, all right, this is pretty cool. But, yeah, I'd like to see him kind of jump up in weight class. I think they're going to give him a little bit more opportunity. As you know, we've got 2 more weeks of this stuff. So maybe he'll get some of those reps against those guys and see how he is. Because I like what I've seen so far from him with the quickness, how disruptive he is. Again, he's beating up on guys that they're in his weight class. Let's see him go up weight class and go from there.
What did you notice with Mike Jackson working back and forth on separate teams with your you have become the defense attorney for Jordan Lewis now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I am the defense attorney for Jordan Lewis. Jordan Lewis should be on this football team. You know, and he absolutely – and if, you know, if people want to trade Jordan Lewis and don't think he belongs, I mean, I find that just ridiculous, to be honest with you. He is the most – you watch some of the battles he had with Cobb yesterday. He is one of the most competitive corners they have on here. Okay, he's not my height. Okay, I get it. But you know what? When you talk about battling, denying, you know, fighting for the football, maybe get a penalty, you know, those kinds of things, give me that guy. You know, and there's going to be a time where, you know, who knows what's going to happen with Byron Jones with this injury, at least the first couple of weeks of the season. You know, who knows what's going to happen again with Anthony Brown. Just to say, move on from Jordan Lewis, I think would be a mistake from this front office if they were to do that.
I think it's really funny. I was listening to the Garrett Presser, how, and I'm not saying Jason is eliminating guys because of the height, but I just think because he's not 6'2 and he's 5'10, in an era – when Kyler Murray just went number one,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and Russell Wilson just got the highest contract ever. So because he doesn't fit in the Chris Richard, right. I'm not blaming Richard, but because he doesn't fit the exact height mold, the guy can't play when we're drafting gamers as high as ever. I think that's pretty funny.
No, it's something that in 1992 and 1993, this wouldn't have happened, you know, in the scouting community. To take a player like Kyler Murray, because on measurables, that would not have been a, you know, we were dinging Steve McNair about stuff, you know, and you think back in the day with Steve McNair and how big and physical he was, there were things about him that scouts didn't like, you know, throwing the football. And so, you know, but back in the day, these guys wouldn't have been like, now I'm telling you, you can't have a team of just completely short players.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, you have to have, you know, teams that have the size speed charts. The Giants are one of the most famous with Parcells, George Young, that group. They came up with all that stuff. And, you know, teams adopted a lot of that. You look at their teams in the past, Parcells teams, they were always very uniform position-wise.
Yeah.
You know, and the linemen looked the same. The linebackers looked the same. The running backs looked the same. Except, and then you had the exceptions of Morris, Joe Morris, guys like that. I mean, Dave Meggett. So you do have those outliers on some teams, but you just can't have a team full of outliers. That's what people need to realize.
Brian brought us DallasCowboys.com. Full practice write-up. What is the kiss of death, and who is this year's victim?
Yeah, it's going to be Luke Gifford is who the kiss of death is. Oh, no. He's a linebacker from Nebraska who's looked really, really good. And here's another guy that he took advantage of some guys not practicing yesterday. Mm. And so, yeah, he's a linebacker that comes from Nebraska. He was signed as an undrafted free agent. He's the guy that looks really, really good right now that I'm kind of – every time I look up, there's that number 57. He's making a tackle. You know, so I'm thinking – all right, well, here I'm going to write about this kid, and then he's going to get in training camp, and it's going to be the kiss of death. But overall, though, the movement – see, at Nebraska, he played as an outside linebacker, and you didn't get to see him run as much as you do today. They play him inside. He's kind of a slippery, sneaky guy that has an ability to not – when they get second-level blocks get to him, he's able to get around him, get to the football. He's very quick. So, yeah, they might have hit on a kid here. Again, keep an eye on – Luke Gifford is who from University of Nebraska.
Finally getting the crawfish on Saturday. Brian brought us.
I did order the sack. We're ready to roll.
DallasCowboys.com. Awesome as always. I'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you, boys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.